Everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week. We've got a two-tournament slate this week on the PGA Tour and DP World Tour together. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Great to have you here with us. We're getting ready for the Open Championship, but first we've got the Genesis Scottish Open and the Barbasol Championship getting underway on Thursday. The Barbasol Championship is at Keen Trace Golf Club in Nicholasville, Kentucky, and the Scottish Open is at the Renaissance Club, once again, in North Berwick, Scotland. We've got a good field for the Scottish Open, 30 of the world top 50 competing on a golf course that I would like to say is a bit of a hybrid between a parkland golf course, which means kind of just normal land that you might see pretty much anywhere in the United States, and a links style course because there is some seaside component to it, a lot of firmer ground, kind of ground game, very much weather influenced, and there's just a difference because it's a dope course. You also have to throw in some modern architecture components to this. Most people who bet on golf are not going to think about all those things, but you should. It does matter, and I think it's really helpful. This is the second year for this tournament being a co-sanctioned event between the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. They did this as part of the kind of strategic alliance deal that they put together a few years ago, in part when the PGA Tour bought into a sizable chunk of European Tour Productions. And they came to an agreement where they would have some working together on events that were co-sanctioned, particularly around the Open Championship, because players were trying to come over to the Scottish Open and they wanted to be a part of it, but they weren't getting FedEx Cup points that didn't count. And they didn't want the DP World Tour Race to Dubai points because that's not really particularly important to them. So they came together on co-sanctioning that. Well, in exchange for that, because a lot of DP World Tour players were going to lose spots in that field because you really only had like 10, 15 Americans who were coming over. Well, now it's half and half, basically. And they had to kind of give some spots back to the DP World Tour. So they said, okay, we'll have an Oppo field event. We'll take the Barbasol Championship and we will make that an Oppo event opposite the Scottish. And we'll give you half the field for that, basically. And you're going to play for $3.8 million instead of $9 million, which stinks. But, you know, if you were struggling to get in that field in the first place as a DP World Tour member, at least you got a chance this week. And if you do something really special, maybe you get PGA Tour membership. There is some value to that now. You finish in top 10 in DP World Tour points, you get to the PGA Tour. So, you know, doing something this week special if you're in Nicholasville, Kentucky. We'll talk about that second. Let's talk about the Scottish Open. Opening lines, again, 30 of the world top 50, so we got a good field here. Rahm's not playing. That's really the big name missing here. Scheffler opens 6-1. I saw him 7-1 open, so already people getting in there, but this is DraftKings. They tend to price the favorites kind of worse. Rory McIlroy, 7.5-1. Xander Schauffele is the defending champion, 14-1, along with Patrick Cantlay, who played well here last year. Victor Hovland and Ricky Fowler are 18-1. Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood are 20-1. Matt Fitzpatrick and Jordan Spieth are 22-1. Wyndham Clark is 35-1. I think some people got on him very quickly. I saw him at some other books at 50 and 60-1. I have no idea why that was the case, but some people got on that quickly, a quick misprice. Other 35s include Shane Lowry, Minwoo Lee, who is a past champion here when it was just a DP World Tour event, a Rolex Series event. I think it was his first DP World Tour win. Max Homa is also 35-1. Justin Thomas, he's 40-1 because he's a popular player, but he is not playing good golf at the moment. Justin Rose is playing good golf, almost got himself a chance at the British Masters last time out. He's 40-1. Tom Kim's 45. Sun James 45. Sam Burns and Ludvig Åberg are 45-1. We'll stop there for a minute and kind of work through this stuff. So Scheffler, I think, makes a ton of sense for people, right? I mean, this is a golf course where you can drive the ball not anywhere. It's not exactly like that, but position is key, but you're going to hit a lot of fairways, so you can hit a lot of greens. You're going to have to dominate the par fives if you're not striking the ball well, and you can do that on this golf course. You can light this place up. I think that suits well for McIlroy. Schauffele played very well here last year. This is very much a weather-dependent situation, I think. We'll have to get closer to Wednesday when we kind of make our final picks to know what the weather forecast is going to be. You'll have a better idea of that, and we'll go from there. But Cantlay also played here very well last year. He's been playing consistently well, plays consistently well against bigger fields. I just feel like 14-1 is so short for a guy that doesn't win that often. at least Xander wins. I mean, he won four times last year, but was in a different place coming off of the Travelers win last year with a ton of confidence, so it made a lot of sense. I think there is not a whole lot of value in Ricky Fowler at 18-1, but I do think there is some value in Victor Hovland at 18-1. I think people are going to tend to forget that he won at Memorial. Totally different setup and golf course, right? But he's playing against great fields really well. He's playing in majors very well. He played, I think, admirably on a U.S. Open golf course that he later said during the championship week didn't really care for. Handled that quite well. I think he is a great starting point at 18-1. Fleetwood interests me at 20-1. Has had a really nice spring and summer. Again, doesn't win in the United States, but plays the bulk of his golf in the United States. This is an opportunity for him to do well. Played well here last year, too. Fitzpatrick at 22 intrigues me because he's starting to figure something out, I think, on the approach play. It's not all there yet, but he's shown some signs of getting back toward where he was last year when he played probably the best golf of his life. Minwoo Lee at 35-1 feels too short. If you could find him in a different book or you got on him early, good for you. I would like him in the 50 range, but I could live with him closer to 40, I suppose. Again, has won on this in this event, is playing tremendous golf at the moment, just seems kind of in a good place mentally. I will look at Justin Rose as well at 40-1. He's already been over there, played well his last time out. This is obviously a step up in quality of field, but he has had a really nice year, continues to just strike the ball really well. 40-1 seems like a reasonable price. I'm going to stay away from Tom Kim. I'm not convinced he's all the way there yet. 45-1 seems a little bit short. People are going to rely on that U.S. Open performance. Oh, he's back. I'm not ready for that quite yet. So that take that for what it's worth. Ludvig Åberg being 45-1 is too short to me. He had a really nice finish to the John Deere Classic. What did he shoot? 63, 64 in the final round. I think 63. It's par 71 at TPC to run to get into a really good position, what tied for fourth place or solo fourth, whatever it was. But that was, I think, a product of really kind of being out of it, not necessarily because he's just a great final round closer. So I'm going to hold off on him. Sungjae Im kind of interests me at 45-1. Every time I bet him, though, he seems to disappoint me. But I do think his short game can come in handy here. I think he's playing better golf. I do like what he's doing. Ryan Fox interests me too because he's seen some success here in this event. Longer hitter. Did pretty well a couple times he's been over here this year. 70 might be just right. I would like it a little bit deeper though. Brian Harman does interest me at 75-1. It just seems to be playing good golf. He is quite a streaky player. Same with Rasmus Højgaard at 75-1. Just won on the DP World Tour in a lengthy six-hole playoff for the Maiden Himmerland in Denmark. Made six pars. Six par was the one that won it on the 18th hole in the playoff against Nacho Elvira, who is actually playing in Kentucky this week, which is kind of a crappy parting gift for a lengthy playoff. But I do think he could be interesting. He may be tired, so you may want to make that an in-play thing. Just see kind of how he starts out and take a little bit of a penalty. But if you like where he's at, then and you're cool with that, 75-1 I think is reasonable. Kurt Kitayama was a runner-up here last year, 90-1, one of those random medal stand finishes for him. Seamus Power interests me quite a bit, though, at 100-1. Seems to be heading in the right direction. I'm not saying he's back to the guy that was a quality top 30 in the world player just a couple of years ago, but it seems like he might be heading back in the right direction. I think he'll draw a lot of confidence from what he opened with, like 28 in the back nine on Sunday at TPC Deer Run. And I think he made that start for a reason. I think he just felt like he could work something out. One guy I think that's going to go under the radar of a lot of bettors this week at 110-1 is Alexander Bjork. Had a really nice finish once again on the DP World Tour. Is just a great, great ball striker. That doesn't mean he's a good putter, but he is a great ball striker, and great ball strikers are going to be able to put themselves in position more often than not. I think that is a misprice on his opportunity here. Do I think he's going to beat all the top 50 players? Not necessarily. That's why he's 110-1, but if he has a great ball striking week, I could see him as a really nice bet for fun. You can make your own each way bet here, right? at 110-1 and then put him in a top 10 or a top 5. Top 10 is 850. Top 5 is 20-1. Those are interesting to me. I do want to look at him a little bit there. I think Dietrich is going to draw some attention, I think, for good reason. Torbjørn Olsen should too, 130-1. Playing good golf on the DP World Tour right now. I will throw out a couple of randos here just because I think it's worth a look. Patrick Harrington is not playing the PGA Tour Champions Major this week. He's 180-1 on a golf course that may or may not favor his game, but he's still extremely long, especially for his age. He's still extremely competitive. He has played well in the DP World Tour this year, had a chance to win in Abu Dhabi. I know you're going to price him like this because he's older. I totally get it. But he's playing really well. And I think I'll throw in Nick Taylor too. Just won the Canadian Open, probably on the bender of a lifetime. But again, that just seems like a total misprice. I think that's worth getting into. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And I may reverse my position here, but just a little bit worth thinking about. Tristan Lawrence and Pablo Larrazabal are both intriguing players from the DP World Tour perspective. Tristan Lawrence just won. I mean, I know he went 6 months basically without a top 10 finish and then just won the BMW International Open. Just, what, less than a month ago. Pablo Larrazabal has played awesome all year. And people keep underestimating his ability to play. I think at their own peril. They're both 250-1. I think they're both worth a look. I think that's kind of silly to price them at that level. And I realize that we're starting to kind of get a little bit deep in trying to compare modern DP World Tour to the PGA Tour. But, I mean, I would say the same thing about Jorge Campillo at 300-1. Guido Migliozzi at 300-1 interests me. I'm sorry for the clicking on the keyboard here. But if you look at his current form, and I realize he's not the same guy who finished fourth in the U.S. Open just a couple of years ago in 2021. But he's seemingly starting to figure some things out a little bit. He's played 3 weeks in a row. So I think now this being week four is a reason to be cautious. Very, very cautious. But T10, the BMW International Open, T28, the British Masters, T58 last week in Denmark. And he's made cuts in six of his last seven. Might be kind of getting some things together. Not saying that it's going to be absolutely great, but kind of intrigues me. Maybe not for a win bet, but for a top 10 bet at 20-1, I can see some value there in that. So that's where I'm going to kind of start at. And you can get really deep really quickly. And I'm sure there's going to be somebody out of this kind of DP World Tour group that's going to be surprising, whether that's Sami Välimäki, whether that's Calum Shinkwin. Someone's going to be on there on day one. You're going to be like, man, I wish I should have bet him. Dale Whitnell just won a couple of weeks ago. He's 800-1. I know that was a little bit of a surprise, right? I mean, breakthrough win, and that's been happening quite a bit on the DP World Tour, but come on, man. 800-1, that seems kind of absolutely ridiculous. That's just me. I mean, he's priced the same as Fabrizio Zanotti. That just doesn't work. So take from that what you will, but go with all. Nikolai van Dellinghausen at 200 plus 250,000. 2,500-1. Put $5 on it. He is not that bad of a golfer to be ranked that horribly. He's just not. I'm sorry. I don't understand some of the pricing here. So if you look at him, I mean, he's 458th in the world right now. I understand. But if you look at his season, T45 last week, couple missed cuts before that, couple top 50 finishes. I mean, I'm not saying he's playing great, but he has showed some signs of at least being able to make a cut. So maybe you don't want to look at him at 2,500-1, but maybe you want to look at him on a top 20 bet. And those are actually up. They're not always that quick, but that's 50-1 on a top 20. He could do that. If you want to look at a top 40, you'll still get really nice plus money on that. Just want to point that out because he's been making cuts. And once you make a cut, all kinds of crazy crap can happen. So I'm willing to look at that this week. Just putting that one out there. We have stayed away. Oh, actually, yeah, they just put up the top 40s. Very nice. Just as we click that. So top 40 for Von Dellinghausen is 11-1. Take it. I'm going to take that because he has been making cuts. And all I need him to do is make a cut. And if he can do that, then you can get into some interesting stuff. I'm going to take him at 11-1 on the top 40 play. Not a huge bet, but it's worth looking at. I know it's a weird dart to throw, but he's a guy I follow, so I want to put them out there. I'm not going to do anything on first round leader. I'm not going to do anything on tournament history. There's just not enough of it with the PGA Tour players involved to know. So I'm just going to leave that well enough alone. I do want to get into the Barbasol Championship too. This is an interesting market because these Oppo Field events, especially these combo Oppo Field events, are really random. And you never know exactly what you're going to get. But last year we had Trey Mullinax win. He is not defending. Your goal when you win this tournament is to never have to defend it. That means you did something well with your exemption that you earned. So Taylor Pendrith is the lead guy in the market here at 18-1. This is a golf course, 7,500 yards. Typically plays pretty soft. You're looking at 20 under to win, 22 under to win, somewhere in that range. Vincent Norman is next best at 28-1. That's an interesting misprice to me because Lucas Glover, I've seen other places like 20-1. He's 28-1 here. I'm willing to look at Lucas Glover at 28-1. He's been playing great the last couple of weeks. Peter Quest is 30-1. I know he's a good player, and he rated out really well in our model for the limited opportunities that he's had. But 30-1 just seems absolutely insane. He could totally win. I'm not saying he can't, but just seems insane from where he was. So take that for what it's worth. Kevin Streelman, 30-1, was runner-up here last year. I think worth a look. Patton Kizzire, a guy who could probably do very well in this golf course, 40-1 is interesting. Troy Merritt is a little too short for me. I really like what he's done the last couple of weeks. He's been battling the yips, went on about it on Twitter, explained it, kind of that he's never dealt with this in his career, but he's dealing with it now. He's had a terrible, terrible year by dealing with that, but he's played very well, he's seemingly found a way to manage it the last couple of weeks and get in the top 20 a couple of times. So I think he's not worth a look to win, but maybe he's worth a top 10 at plus 500. It's just hard to support that. One guy I want to point out, Andrew Novak is 45-1. I've seen him priced all over the place looking around this morning. He has missed one cut since the start before the Valspar Championship. Now, does that mean he's posting great finishes? No. But he is a guy who's making a ton of cuts. And that might be a guy you could cash on a top 20 or a top 40. I don't think they have the top 40s up. No, they just have winners and fives and tens. So you might want to look at that. I think he's an interesting player here this week. Again, you've got influence from the DP World Tour. You've got some DP World Tour players in the field. But if you look at the players who are here, Niklas Norgaard has been playing pretty well. He's 35-1. He is the highest or lowest, worst priced player on the board for the DP World Tour. And then you get into Rio Hisatuni. Then you get into, beyond that, Kiradek Api Barnrat, Marcus Hellinglide, Julian Guerriere, guys like that. We'll point out Josh Teeter is interesting to me. Almost won on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's playing most of his golf there. He's a Kentucky guy. I think he's playing well enough to support potentially winning a 55-1. Also, as a side note, I played a pro-am with him in Puerto Rico, I guess 2 years ago, 9 holes of a pro-am. The other 9 were with, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. But nevertheless, interesting player, Kentucky connection, probably will do pretty well this week. Martin Piller was the other guy, by the way, that we played the front nine with. Very nice guy. Had a lot of fun with him. Ryan Gerard interests me at 65-1 a little bit. Better than Nacho Elvira, who's 65-1. I think he's going to be gassed. He had come from basically playing awful, awful golf to suddenly getting into a playoff. Just avoid. Austin Smotherman, 65-1, interests me. Aaron Cockrell plays his bulk of his golf on the DP World Tour. had a chance to win, I believe, in Japan this year. Lucas Herbert, I think, beat him in a playoff. He's interesting to me. Chazjane Watanabe. I keep banging on about him. 80-1. Long enough hitter. Has shown some measure of success in the United States. Played great golf on the Asian Tour this year. A little bit on the DP World Tour. Seems to just beat up against weaker competition. A win here could mean a lot for his career. Kind of interests me. I think Ryan Moore at 90-1 has caught my attention recently. That seems a little too deep. I know he's an older player now. He's basically a little bit old, my age. But if you look at his results recently, he's 407th in the world right now. I understand, not a great golfer, as great as he once was. And he's not even playing spectacular golf, but he's playing okay golf. And a couple decent finishes in the last few months. I think it's at least worth a look against these weaker fields. His best finish of the year was a T7 at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And I understand why he's 90-1, but interesting to look at. But if you think about him, Russell Knox, the guy who's playing okay, starting to kind of figure some things out. Maybe he's a better bet at 90-1, been striking the ball well. But on these types of tournaments, I always find it extremely dangerous to try to go after deep shots, assuming something weird's going to happen. It's typically in these oppo field events, the guy that's staring you right in the face that's been playing well recently. So to me, that's Lucas Glover or Peter Quest. And that's probably where I will focus any money I put on this event, on those two guys. And if in the research that I do over the next couple of days, I unearth something I'm surprised about, I will bet on that player. But I'm going to keep my action very limited this week on the Barbasol. I love these tournaments. They are some of my favorites because you just don't know what's going to happen. But more often than not, you're kind of disappointed. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy's been playing okay. Yeah, he's going to win. So keep that in mind when thinking about this one. A little bit different at the Scottish Open. And then the what used to be the Bridgestone Senior Players Championship is now the Callig Companies Championship. So please don't be confused. It's a major championship. It's play of Firestone. This is really Steve Stricker territory because you have no Patrick Harrington this week. He's plus 250 to win, which is just terrible, terrible odds. If you want something to think about, Jerry Kelly, 10-1, has won here. Played well in the U.S. Senior Open. Absolutely worth looking at. I think Ernie Els is also worth looking at 14-1. Tung Chai Jaidi is playing well this year. 40-1 is worth looking at, I think. And then maybe Dickie Pride at 50-1 is interesting to look at. Would be a surprise winner for sure, but I think he's playing pretty well this year, having a really nice season. So worth looking at for me. Maybe a Darren Clark at 28-1 as well. But this tour right now, at Stewart Cink, 6-1, it has gotten started on his senior career pretty well. Stricker nails these majors, though, man. He just owns the majors, other than Bernhard Langer. So if you look at Stricker for this, 250 is too short. It's unbettable, in my opinion. But I would go look at Jerry Kelly. I would leave Langer alone. You might like Stephen Ames. If you like what he's done this season, he's won, what, 3 times on this tour. But I think you need to have a little bit of length here. But then again, Jerry Kelly's not a long player, and he's done the job here. So consider Stephen Ames, I think. This is going to feel more like an actual Champions Tour event because it's run by them, as opposed to a U.S. Senior Open or a Senior PGA, where those bodies that own the championships run it. Their setup's a little bit different. Stephen Ames has done really well in a PGA Tour champion setup this year. Darren Clark would be interesting, too. So we'll come back to that a little bit, but at least wanted to get that on your radar. And then I've been texting with a couple of buddies about the Open and just want to bring this up briefly because you got to get these numbers a little bit early. But if you look at the market right now, you can get Victor Hovland at 20-1. That seems kind of silly. Colin Morikawa, 22-1 seems to make sense to me. I'm not betting Cantlay because he doesn't win. But 25-1 seems kind of like a silly number. I really don't like talking about how Bryson DeChambeau is playing well, but worth looking at. But I will say Dustin Johnson at 28-1, I think very much feels alive at 28-1. Seems to keep playing pretty well in these live events. Just kind of on the fringe of winning. I mean, he's playing well. Just kind of on the fringe of his best golf. So maybe he's still got one left in the bag. Worth looking at, I think. And then Justin Rose interests me. Kind of needed this weather forecast to work itself out. I hate to say it, because I'm not a fan of Patrick Reed, but Patrick Reed interests me. But Minwoo Lee at 65-1 really interests me. Because depending on what we get, and we don't know that yet, but if we get a firm, fast place, Minwoo Lee's not going to need a whole lot to get around. And that's when he can really start to shine. I think he is a dangerous player in this championship. Taylor Gooch is 100-1, and I really don't know what to make of him. He has, what, 3 wins on LIV this year? 3. And yet, it doesn't seem to translate very well. And I don't know what it is about LIV. I don't know what it is that works for him. But 100-1 just seems off for a guy that's won 3 times. So when you sit there and think, God, that seems off. Why? You got to think, why? Why does it seem off? Why do the books have that or that? And it's maybe because it just doesn't translate. And they're just kind of begging you to bet this guy at 100-1. So take that for what it's worth. Keegan Bradley actually could be really intriguing here at 100-1, depending on what we get in terms of conditions. I'm probably going to look at him. That seems quite mispriced, just given the year that he's had. So just a couple of ideas, seeds to plant for next week, but start thinking about that because it's coming. We're almost the final men's major of the year, which is kind of crazy. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the press. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. If you catch us as a podcast on a platform, let you do it. Leave us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. Email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com with questions, comments, concerns. Happy to help you out. You can DM me on Twitter or Threads or Instagram @RyanBallenge. Find me on all those places. Happy to talk to you. And join Golf News Net for $99 a year. The thing we're going to work on this week is strokes gained by easy scoring, medium scoring, difficult scoring, and also strokes gained by quality of field. We do a quality strokes gained measure that kind of aggregates all of that, but we don't ever really break it out, even though it's a factor in our model every week. So I'm going to show that to you based on quality of field, see how players do. And then you can kind of parse that together for yourself, make your own model. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll go over our model for the week for both these tournaments. We'll talk a little bit about the Dana Open on the LPGA, where Rose Zhang is already the betting favorite again. And we'll get through everything else this week. So we'll be back at home for like the next month. So I'll be able to be much more reliable in putting together shows. And then when I'm on the road, I'm actually going to be in a kind of sort of quiet place, at least relatively speaking. So we'll be able to do shows there too. So we're good through the rest of the FedEx Cup season. Just getting through all of it. And some more exciting announcements to come too about some stuff we're doing. You'll see very soon. So I'll tell you about that. Very excited. All right, I'm Ryan Ballenge. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Press.